The first time I noticed him, he said, "Nothing at all." It was a morning of afterlife, and the trees around our university lot were slipping their gold and fire colored leaves like silent gashes. I was sitting at my usual spot under the big aeroplane tree near the library, headphones on, sketchpad open, trying to draw the way the light fell through the branches. That's when I saw him, leaning against a contrary bench, a paperback in hand, his aspect so still it looked like it was part of breath. He was and someone you'd notice in a crowd. He did not speak loudly or laugh with groups of musketeers. He was simply there, present yet ghost-like, as if sound itself had forgotten him. And for reasons I couldn't explain, I started noticing him far and wide. The cafeteria, the quiet reading niche behind the language structure, the way leading to the form theater. Always alone, always silent. Curiosity clawed at me like an itch under the skin. One day, I could unhold it presently. "Hi," I said, standing in front of him as he sat on the bench outside the art plant, a tablet on his stage. He looked up, startled, as though someone had broken a sacred spell. His eyes were gentle, dark, but alert. "I've seen you around," I added awkwardly. "I'm Maya." He jounced. "Also, precisely," he flipped the runner in his tablet and wrote in neat block letters Liam. I awaited, but he didn't speak. He gave a soft smile and looked back at his tablet. "You doing talk?" He shook his head. I didn't press further. Commodity about his silence didn't feel forced it felt. Chosen, or perhaps necessary. That day I sat beside him. We didn't speak. I sketched, he wrote, and ever the air around us felt warmer, thicker, meaningful. Over the coming many weeks, Liam came my constant. We participated a quiet fellowship. I'd bring my sketch pad, and he'd bring a new book or his tablet. Occasionally, he'd write me short notes. Compliances about the shadows, quotations from runes, studies about the world. They were beautiful, thoughtful, nearly hanging. It was through these words on paper that I began to know him. He was ent-mute. I learned that sluggishly. He could speak, but he chose not to. One autumn, I wrote the question on a hanky and slid it to him. "Why silence?" He looked at it for a long time, and I allowed he wouldn't answer. Also, he scribbled back, because silence no way betrays. Words do. I read it 3 times. That day, we didn't sit under the trees. We walked to the lake. He threw monuments into the water, his face lost in study. I didn't press him, but my casket pained. Liam wasn't just silent. He was guarding commodity, perhaps everything, and still, I was falling for him. The first time he touched my hand, it was decolorizing. December had wrapped a lot in white. Test week, the usual delirium had taken over, but he and I were still chancing moments between it all. That day, I was shivering as we sat on the cold bench. I hadn't worn gloves. I didn't want to stop drawing. Indeed, if my fritters were stiff. Without a word, he took my hand in his. Warm. Establishment. Gentle. He didn't let go. I turned, and he was looking at me, not with a smile, but commodity more serious. His eyes spoke what his lips didn't. I didn't need to hear him to understand. Also came downtime break. We didn't see each other for nearly a month. He didn't use a phone. No social media. Just faded into silence. I missed him like a missing part of my breath. When classes proceeded, I rushed to the aeroplane. He was sent there. Days passed. Also a week. No Liam. I started to wonder, had he moved? Dropped out? Had I imagined it all? Also, a letter arrived in my dorm. A white envelope, addressed in familiar handwriting. Inside, a single runner. "Maya, I don't know if I should have let you get close. But you did. And I didn't stop you. That's on me. There's commodity I haven't told you. Perhaps I should have. Perhaps I'm a sissy for not doing it in person. But I don't know how to speak about it. Not with words. My silence is not just a choice. It's where I hide. It's where I survive. If I return, and you're still there, perhaps I'll find the courage to let you in." I gripped the letter to my casket. It didn't say important, but ever. It said everything that I returned to the aeroplane every day after that letter. It was foolish, perhaps indeed hopeless, but I believed in him. In the quiet verity behind his silences, in the gentleness of his presence, in the way his eyes held further than his words ever would. Weeks passed, also one stormy autumn. Just as I was packing up my sketch pad, a shadow fell over the bench. I looked up, and there he was, Liam, soaked from rain, hood down, drops adhering to his switches, but unmistakably him. He didn't say a word, just stood there, gaping at me, casket rising and falling like he'd been running toward this moment. Without vacillation, I stood, walked up to him, and wrapped my arms around him. He strengthened for an alternate, also melted into me. His hands came up, one resting on my reverse, the other bearing into my damp hair. It was the first grass, and in it, he said everything his voice no way had. After that, he returned, not daily, not predictably, but he came. Occasionally we sat in silence. Occasionally he wrote, and occasionally, infrequently, he rumored. His voice was rough, like old paper tearing, not because of lack of use, but because it carried weight. "I'm trying," he said formally, as we sat on the lawn under an Argentine sky. And that was enough. Liam no way explained his history outright, but in time, pieces surfaced. He'd grown up in a menage full of noise, but none of it kind. Crying, lies, treason. His father had been cruel, his mama silent out of fear. Words in that house had been munitions. When he turned 18, he walked down and chose silence over ever repeating that cycle. It was survival. But with me, his silence started to shift. It came not just a wall, but a ground, one he erected sluggishly. One night, in early spring, he handed me his tablet. It was thicker than ever, runners worn, corners fraudulent. "Read it," he rumored. "Now." He jounced, also took a step back, hands behind his reverse, eyes on the bottom. I opened the first runner, and I began to read. It was Entjes notes. It was his journal, the story of his life, from nonage pain to the day we met, the way he first noticed me sketching under the aeroplane, the studies he'd when I said hello, the fear he felt when he started falling in love. "I doan't know how to love without fear," one entry read, dated mid-November. "But Maya looks at me like I'm further than the effects I've survived, and I want to be that man for her." Gashes fill my eyes as I turn the final runner. There, in his handwriting, shaky and doubtful, were five words, "I love you. I'm trying." When I looked up, he was watching me. No words, just staying. I stepped forward and cupped his face. "I love you too, Liam." He exhaled shakily, a breath he'd held for times. Also, he kissed me. It was reluctant, soft, but real. And in that kiss, his silence dissolved. From also on, effects didn't come perfect, but they came real. We had quiet days and loud moments. I tutored him to trust his voice, not always with words, but with expression. He wrote runes for me. I drew pictures of him. Our love was a language of its own, silent occasionally, but always heard. One stormy night in May, as we lay on the library way under a participated fleece, he rumored, "I'm not hysterical of words presently, not when they come from you." And I rumored back, "I'll always hear, indeed, when you say nothing." But life, as it frequently does, tested us. His estranged father fell ill. A letter arrived at his apartment, unopened for days. When he eventually read it, commodity in him cracked open. He faded again. For 3 days, I awaited. Also on the fourth day, a knock at my door. Liam, eyes red-rimmed, stood there, holding a letter. "I went to see him," he rumored. I let him in, sat him down. He spoke further than he ever had. He didn't apologize. He didn't change. But I did. I told him I was an hysterical of him presently, that he'd no power over who I came. And I told him that I love someone, and that she saved me from myself. Gashes slipped down my cheeks. He reached into his fleece fund and pulled out a bitsy velvet box. My breath caught. "I'm still learning, Maya," he said. "Still healing. Still growing. But I want to do all of that with you. In silence, in words, in everything. Will you be my ever?" I didn't need to suppose. "Yes, I rumored. We didn't rush into the marriage. Liam wanted time, not just for us to plan, but for him to continue growing, learning how to live outside the silence that formerly defended him. I supported him through every step, not as someone trying to change him, but as someone choosing to understand him. We took long walks under the airplane trees, where it all began. We read books together, occasionally audibly, occasionally still side by side. He indeed started reading me poetry, his voice gaining strength with each verse. His silences, when they came, were no longer walls. They were spaces of rest, of safety, of knowing I was near. And when he did speak, it was always with meaning. I used to suppose silence kept me safe, he told me one night as we lay on the lawn outside the library, the stars blinking vocally above. But you tutor me that love can be just as safe. Indeed, when it's loud. I reached for his hand. Your silence no way spooked me. Because I knew you were always hearkening. And now I know you're speaking too. He smiled and for the first time, truly laughed. It was a sound I would no way forget. We got married in late afterlife, under the golden trees. There were no grand promises. Just quiet, honest pledges. He held my hands in his and looked at me with those same eyes from all those months ago. Gentle, vigilant, searching. I no way allowed I could be someone who was loved, he said vocally, voice steady. But you made me believe I could be, not despite my silence, but because you heeded to it, because you spoke to the part of me I kept hidden. I answered through gashes. I fell in love with the way you said everything without words. But I'll always cherish every word you choose to say. He kissed me under the golden leaves, under the soft applause of musketeers and non-natives likewise. But in that moment, it felt like the world had broke to hear. We moved into a little apartment near the university, filled it with books and shops and sun. I turned a corner of the living room into a plant. He turned the other into a jotting niche. Liam published his first book of time latterly. It was called Your Silence. It was in a novel, not exactly. Further collection, journal entries, runes, studies, fractions. A shade of his trip through fear, silence, pain, and love. The fidelity read from Maya, who spoke to my silence and tutored me to sing. I cried when I read it, and he held me in silence, so full of love it echoed louder than any voice. Times passed. Seasons changed. We grew. We argued occasionally, like all couples. He'd retreat. I would stay, also reach out. He always came back, each time stronger, more open. And with each chapter of our life, each new fear, joy, mistrustfulness, and hope, we erect a love that didn't need to be loud, be profound. One summer evening, as we watched our son draw his first crayon picture under the same airplane tree where we met, Liam leaned toward me and said, I used to suppose silence was each I had. He looked at me, but now I know. Love is louder than silence. I rested my head on his shoulder, and I'll hear every beat of it. He kissed the top of my head. And for formally, we let the silence just be what it always was. Our morning, our language, our ever.